I would like to call to order the Otter Rock Monthly Board Meeting on 3/21/2023 at 6:02 PM. Lisa, here. Beth?
Here.
Eileen?
Here.
And it looks like we have Whitney and Curtis from Highland, John, somebody's iPad, the Mullins, and the Harts.
Right.
Next on the agenda is approval of board summaries from previous meetings, which I don't think we had.
Nope, didn't get it done.
Okay, well, that's fine. That's great. Thank you.
Yes.
I know. I appreciate you, Beth. I really do.
Hopefully, we'll have two to approve next meeting.
Okay. Next on the agenda is the water operator's report from Curtis at Highland.
Cool. It's been a slow month. I was just looking through. There's a courtesy shutoff. There was a leak last month at the chalet in Ottercrest Loop or Ottercrest Road. And so I actually got a call from the state about that. They were very concerned of what all that extra water was doing to a septic system down the hill. So we got that figured out, and I'm assuming they got their leak fixed because the water bill would have been outrageous. So I'm pretty sure that's all in the past. Couple of locates, couple of water shutoffs, but nothing too big or massive. Talked to Cody. None of our numbers are irregular. Spring's flowing good. Chlorine residual's just fine. So Cody hasn't had to spend a whole lot of time out there except for doing courtesy shutoffs. So it's been pretty quiet. As for current projects, we did get the water meter boxes in, and we have more of the covers for the boxes. So we are all set. We've got meters, parts, and boxes. We're all set to go do meter splicing. All I need is addresses. I know you guys have kind of been ho-humming and figuring out where to best go. I wasn't sure if we had a plan yet.
I think we do. I can get you some addresses. I guess we just need to decide how many. I think we looked at possibly doing four at least. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, we have 6 meters on the shelf right now, correct? Because we had 9, but 3 got used to replace the broken ones.
I thought we had more than 6. I could look, or I could have Cody look, but I thought we had like 11 or 12, and then we used 3.
Okay.
Either way, we have, I know we have 9 boxes there, and I thought we had 9 meters left, but I could call Cody and ask. Next time he's in the area, he can just make a quick count.
Well, what I thought we had 9 before we used some to replace the,
I might have forgotten.
Yeah. So we probably have 6 or...
Okay.
6 or 8 or something, right, to put in. And
something
I know
around there.
Yeah. Well,
if we get started and I count and realize we have more or less meters, we can adjust accordingly.
Right. Okay. We can discuss it and get some addresses to you.
Quick question for you, Curtis,
do you
on
have
the
a
shelf.
Time frame of when you're thinking? I wasn't sure if it's something you're trying to hit in April or if there's.
Yeah, April, if I would think. How far out are you guys scheduled for stuff like that?
We're about 2 weeks out. I turned off my video because people are coming in fuzzy and I'm not sure if it's me. So I'll see if this helps. But yeah, we're about 2 weeks out.
Okay. So if we get you addresses, in the next few days, we could.
Yep. Let's say typically we can dig up three or four in a day and then splice and backfill three or four in a day. So, I mean, so that's
2 days for three or four, you're saying?
Yeah, that'd be a crew with a back trailer. And I mean, assuming we find what we're looking for, but yeah, that'd be about right.
Well, these are all where we know where the corpse stops are, so.
Oh, well, that makes life real easy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got another 13 where we know where the corpse stops are, so.
Okay.
We can do them as long as we've got meters. Now, didn't we have some other meters on order, too, or did we not?
I don't think we ordered them, Beth. Don't we have some warranty stuff, Curtis?
You have some meters on warranty. I think there's three.
Yeah.
They went to Ferguson and Hillsboro.
Okay.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
Okay.
I haven't tracked. I don't know when the new ones will be back, but I could ask.
That might be where you're coming up with the difference, Beth, because we had those ones that we knew needed to be replaced for.
Well, yeah, I know. We had 9 new ones. I know that we ordered. Yeah. I thought we did all 10 of the existing ones. We got 9 more in.
Yeah.
But 3 of those went to the replacements.
Right. Right. So.
Yeah. I'll have Cody double check because I thought we had more than 9, but I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, we should have 9 with the returns if we get the fixed ones.
Can we go back to the chalet real quick?
Uh-huh.
Curtis, you said that you guys checked over at the chalet, but just to confirm that it wasn't on us, right? That leak, it wasn't on our.
Nope, the leak was not on you. So
okay.
Your responsibility as the water provider is to the meter, and everything past the meter is recorded as the customer's usage, which means they have to pay for it and they have to pay for any damage it causes.
But you said the state contacted you?
Yep. Well, I should clarify. It was the county on the state's behalf.
Okay.
But yeah, DEQ called us because they were concerned about all the potential damage to the septic tank going into the ocean, which is not at all anything to do with the water distributor. They had just trying to figure out what was going on. So that's when we got in contact with the chalet. And they got their leaks fixed.
Okay. So when you say you got in contact with the chalet, just to confirm that it wasn't on us?
I was just trying to figure out what was going on and why the state would be calling me about a customer's leak.
Okay, so. Gotcha. Okay.
Yep. So just making sure it wasn't on us.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
People hear me?
Yep.
Can I interject? I'm John Bukowski. I'm representing the Alpine Alpine Chalets tonight.
Hello,
I'm
John.
I'm the treasurer, and I interact with Whitney as far as our bills.
Pleasure to talk to you, John.
Yeah, good to meet you, Curtis. We the reason for the call from Lincoln City Environmental is because we've had some land subsidence issues at the chalets, and they're concerned that the septic tank has been leaking. So that was the reason they called. Now, you know, the way the water works going into the houses, it does, if it was going through the house instead of going into the ground, then it would go into the septic system. But we did discover a leak. We were quite surprised found a leak, because when we had the major leak in December of 21, we actually saw a drop in water pressure towards the end of the line. We never saw a drop of water pressure this time, but we did find a leak at the entry of one of the units. So that's been corrected. And the environmental office was very concerned because they're wondering what's going on with the water. But the water leak went into the ground, not into the septic system, because it never went through the drains. Right, it went right into the ground. And then, you know, since then, based on...
So you had a water leak close to your septic tank.
Not really. The way the chalets are laid out, they're like an L shape. There's 11 units that are in L shape. And then the water lines run behind the back of all the units from our pump house, which is proximity of where the meter is. So they run behind the units. And then what happens is the water comes into the units, they go to all the fixtures, and they exit out the front of the units and go to a septic tank that's in beyond the parking lot. It's a little grassy area. So they're really completely separate systems. But I know they were concerned because there are issues with the septic that we're trying to get resolved right now, but they're really two different issues.
Okay. Well, thanks for clearing that up, John.
Okay. No problem.
Does anyone have anything else?
Yeah.
Curtis, I think we might be done with you. I think we need to get you some addresses.
New records.
So you can put some meters in. Are you going to be bringing your equipment so that you could go up and fill in up there at the tank farms, or that's something different?
That's something different. We don't have a reason to bring that. let me turn off my video.
Okay.
Sorry, I thought I had better internet than here.
There you go. Now you're good.
Something different. So we're not going to bring the excavator up. We'd risk breaking a water line or a power line or something. We'll bring the back trailer up because that's what we can use to dig safely.
Okay, perfect.
Yep.
Well, Eileen, were you asking about fill? Is there still fill needed around those vaults?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. They got the vaults placed, but they need to fill in around them. And he was hoping that at some point they'd be bringing that excavator back down here and they'd be able to get it filled then. So
even if it's not here, if we were taking out to Waldport or somewhere nearby, it'd be quick and easy to swing by and clean it up in 5 minutes. Otherwise it's like a half day of just shoveling.
Right.
So.
Okay. I'm done. Would you?
Well, thank you, all Curtis. Right.
My pleasure. Let me know if there's anything else, and I'll look forward to those addresses.
Okay.
Thanks, Curtis.
Bye.
Bye. Next on the agenda is the Alpine January leak.
I can tell you what happened from our perspective. We were unaware of a leak because, as I mentioned before, we did have a leak in December of 2021. And at that time, we saw a drop in water pressure at the end of our line. So we started searching for a leak, and we actually had to have a company come out and put a dye test in to find where the leak was. That was resolved. In the January leak, we were completely unaware that there was a leak because we didn't see any drop in water pressure, which doesn't make sense when you think about how much water we used that month. But we did find some bubbling of water behind our unit 3, and that's since been corrected. And then it's been verified that it's corrected because when Curtis, I understand, has been doing weekly readings. And the February readings were well within our budget for the month. So that's as much as I know. This point, I wish I could tell you more. We've had Lincoln Plumbing out once and Newport Plumbing out looking for leaks. They haven't found any. This is February timeframe. They both came out. So I think we've done everything we can do at this point.
But you found the leak, right?
We did find a leak, but I was concerned that there was something else leaking because we didn't see that big drop in water pressure. You know, we had them both come out and take a look at a couple of areas, and they didn't find anything. So I think as far as we're aware, there's no leak at this point.
Right. Well, it's pretty obvious, I think, from the meter reading that it's back to normal.
Yep.
So the leak isn't ongoing. Our question is, because of the large amount of water, do we need to charge you? We haven't charged you for that water. I figured it out at one time, $686 worth of water usage if we normally would charge you. And there's apparently been a question raised to whether we can waive that fee as a leak forgiveness, which we did do in December of 21. So that's something that the board wanted to discuss.
Well, I'm here to answer any questions. Obviously, I can't influence your decision. I think it's really up to you guys as to what you want to do. I mean, you know, we did have the problem in 21. We have this other problem now. We would appreciate you forgiving it again, but we'll abide by whatever your decision is.
Right. So I know there was a question, and Lisa, you had a question on whether we had the authority to do it. And I believe we do in our ordinance.
Like I said in the email to you, I don't agree with that ordinance, and we don't have a policy.
Well,
we don't have a written policy, and we cannot make exceptions since we don't have a written policy. It sends us down a rabbit hole of not doing what we should be doing. And according to our rates, we have to charge the overages. And it's not an undue hardship. So unfortunately, John, I'm sorry. I hate to say this, but we have to charge you for the overages.
Well, we need to decide as a board on that. And
correct.
I have some opinions that I would like to speak when you get done.
Okay, for right now, I am done.
Okay. That ordinance, that clause, that section in the ordinance is specifically for this type of thing, because there are a number of situations, and there's some that came up just last year, which we waived fees on. And I believe that section of the ordinance was put there for this type of thing where you don't necessarily have to have a policy on it. And we've done it before. And yes, you mentioned we should have a policy. And I agree, especially once we get all the residences metered, we would want to have a leak forgiveness policy. But that ordinance does give us the authority to do something like this. We've done it in the past. We've done it for various different charges. And I don't see why we would not be doing it for this one. Eileen, do you want to weigh in on this?
Well, I guess reading the ordinance, there's a couple of things, Beth. First of all, you've got demonstrated hardship. So when I read that, what I think about is somebody that's on a fixed income that can show that paying a bill that's outside of a normal bill would be a hardship, and they can demonstrate that. And then the other part of the variance that is a little vague is would cause undue or unnecessary hardship. So, I mean, you can read that a lot of different ways. So you've got two different verbiages in there, you know, demonstrated hardship and undue or unnecessary hardship. So if we have waived these fees before,
we have.
And can you tell me who we've waived them for, other than the chalet? Because it sounds like we've waived them for the chalet before.
We have waived, just before I came on the board, a whole bunch of old bills that were past due, and they were quite substantial, were waived by the board.
Was this commercial or residential?
No, these were residential.
Okay.
We had one just several fees last year that we waived.
Okay.
For one customer, which I'm not going to name, but
no, you don't.
There was a substantial amount that was waived.
Right.
For various reasons.
Okay.
I don't know that that would have been a hard. I mean, they obviously weren't. I don't think hardship does not necessarily mean a person or entity or a group has to be low income. But in the past cases, this has not been the case. So we have past practice of not requiring that as part of it.
Okay, well, I think going forward, we need to make sure that we're clear on what a hardship means. And if a demonstrated hardship is vague, we need to make it unvague.
Well, I would say that a overage bill that is three times the annual amount for Alpine in 1 month is somewhat of a hardship. That's a budgeting hardship.
Well, unless you've got contingencies built in, Beth, then, you know.
Right. Well, there's a lot of, you can throw ifs in here from all night. We could say ifs.
Well, but. Right. And yeah. So I think if we've waived it for them once, and I don't think you keep waiving it. I'm sorry. I have to agree with Lisa on this one, Beth.
Okay.
I think going forward, we need to clarify this a little bit more before we start waiving fees for people.
Well, it's been done a lot, so it's like, that's why that language is in there, because you do it on a case by case basis, and there's no problem in that. But as far as leak forgiveness, you can, if you do an internet search on water leak forgiveness, you will come up with utility after utility after utility that does this. I mean, there, you know, you can go on forever on page after page of utilities that have it, and they have different policies. Some of them have very, you know, and it's all outlined, but it's not an unusual thing at all. So
I am not disagreeing with the policy. I am not disagreeing with the fact that we should have a policy. It's the fact that we don't have one, and that we keep perpetuating this thing of waiving things that we don't have a policy for, and we shouldn't be doing it.
Well,
and
we do have a policy.
If you look at my record, I have voted against these, most of them, fee forgiveness.
No, you haven't. You haven't since I've been on the board.
Well, I think that we need to. I mean, some of them we did it because we were afraid of getting sued. I mean, I remember that. So.
Right. And we did it for Alpine, 14 months ago. And you voted for that one. So I don't, you know, and we have the authority to do it. That's exactly what that clause is. That was an amendment to 2017-02. It's in 2017-04, which was amending 2017-02, which is our main rules and regulations.
So Beth, if no offense, John, but Beth, so if they have another water leak 2 months from now that they don't find, do we waive that too? Do we just keep waiving them?
Not necessarily. If you look at the other utilities, some of them have, they look back a rolling 12 months. Some of them, you know, look at a different time period. They have different ways of charging. They do partial credits. Some of them look at a year ago and the monthly bill from a year ago and say, okay, we'll give you everything, we'll credit you everything but 150% of what you had a year ago. Well, those are very formalized policies. And I think it would be excellent for us to do that, but we don't have that at this time.
Well, and I think
that strikes me as how responsible that Alpine has been. They got right on it. It wasn't intentional water use. It wasn't them being lackadaisical, not caring about the water. They got right on it as soon as they knew. I mean, we aren't metered for all our residences, so we're not charging residences for usage. And we had one of our newer meters that we installed up the road had, this was at a house. They just had a meter for a year, a month and a half, and their reading for 1 month came in at 120,000 gallons.
Yes, and it's not metered. It's unfortunate.
It was metered. Well, yeah, right. That's the only way we knew it was leaking.
Yeah.
There was no sign of any water around the house. There wasn't a river coming out from under the thing, but there was a leak under the floor.
Yeah.
And they got it fixed right away, of course, but it's our sandy soil and it just sinks down in. So it's not real apparent always that people have a leak.
Yeah.
And it could be happening at another dozen houses here too. Who knows?
Sure, good.
Anyway, I think that, you know, I was impressed with how responsive Alpine was in correcting the problem. It wasn't an intentional and careless use of water. And it, in my opinion, I think we should at least give them, if not the full usage amount, at least a partial credit for it. So that's my opinion. And I know we have the authority because that's specifically why that clause is there. And it's a generic clause because it's meant because things happen. There's always different things. And it gives the board authority to do that. So is anybody up for at least a partial credit?
Beth, I understand completely what you're saying. And I think it's really frustrating for all of us, the fact that we know that residents probably have got major leaks going on and we can't do anything about it because we don't have meters in everywhere. And then you've got these commercial businesses that are metered and they seem to be the scapegoat. So I completely understand that. And I appreciate the fact that Chalet has stepped up and captured their water leak as quickly as they can, which obviously is a responsible thing to do for anybody that has a water leak. I think I go back to, is it a demonstrated hardship? And if, you know, if they can spread the pain out through the residents that own the chalet, then, you know, pay your bill. So, and I mean, it's kind of a cold, but if we've already forgiven them once, Beth, you know, do you keep forgiving? So. And I mean, I think
so you wouldn't be inclined to do it because
I think I would be inclined to look at maybe doing a partial. If it's really a hardship for them to come up with the extra funds, I guess that's the main question. Is it truly a hardship? So.
Lisa, would you at all? Because I'll make a motion to give them a partial credit.
I have no idea what that partial credit would be. And you just can't throw money out of your hat. So
I'm not throwing it out anywhere. I'm proposing.
We have not decided that it's a hardship. So I don't know. Honestly, I don't know.
Well, we did it before. It wasn't quite as much. Well, actually, it was more than that.
It looks like the additional amount Lisa, is going to be $636.80. That's how much the water leak was.
Right.
So their base fee is $550.
Right.
So it's an additional.
And that usually their overage, their usage charges for a year are around $200.
For the whole year?
For a whole year, yes.
On top of the $550 a month?
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's quite excessive.
Well, in the scheme of things.
It's not quite obsessive.
Yeah, well, that kind of thing would bust my budget, you know.
Well, but yeah, it's not your budget, Beth.
No, but it's somebody's.
Well, no, I agree. So.
Okay, well, sounds like it's not necessary for me to make a motion because you wouldn't go for it. So if I made a motion, okay, here, I'll go ahead and try this. I'll make a motion to credit them for 50% of the usage bill for January.
I second.
Beth?
What?
We need to, it's been motioned and seconded, so we need a vote.
You're calling for a vote?
Yeah, because I'm not going to change my mind.
Okay, I'm voting yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Lisa, no.
Well,
motion fails.
So with that being said, if they have not been invoiced for those overages, we need to get those invoiced.
Yeah, well, they haven't because we.
Right, but I'm just saying if they haven't, they need to be at this point. So.
And I have no problem with them paying it over several months. We don't, and you know, not charging them late fees. I have no problem with, you know, if it's really a truly hardship, you know, spreading it out.
Yeah, 30, 60, 90.
Well, we would appreciate that. We're actually shut down at this point because of the issues with the septic system.
Right.
So if we can do a payment plan, that would be appreciated.
Sure.
And pass that on to Whitney. I'm sure she'll bill us accordingly. And we have an automatic payment set up right now, direct debit.
Sure. Can we do like a 30, 60, 90?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, perfect.
Anything like that would help us.
Okay.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your consideration and we're not going to sue you. Don't worry about that.
Thank you, John. And I'm glad you got your septic. Did you get your septic systems part fixed?
No. Well, we still are working with Brian Crawford, his office.
Yeah.
He had ESER just done, but we're waiting for the formal paperwork to go to him for him to make a decision.
Yeah, I know walking on the beach, whenever I walk by there, it was pretty bad. So I'm glad it's getting addressed. So.
Okay, well, I'm going to drop off. Thank you very much for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Thank you, John.
Bye.
Next on the agenda is the treasurer and office report.
God, let me find it. Hold on a second. I'm going to find it. Sorry, guys, I had too many windows open. Okay, treasurer's report. Columbia checking, and this is as of 2/26. They cut it off just a little bit early because we've transitioned to First Security. Columbia checking account was at $146,402.54. Uncleared was $5,742.67. The QuickBook register balance was $152,145.21. Total credits, $8,301.60. Total debits, $11,125.78. Treasury savings, this is the 131 balance, $84,083. Whitney hadn't received the statement, so I'll have to update that. So it's just a little bit of interest that's missing. Community center account is the same, $366.79. Chlorination account is $18,772.23. The AR balance sheet total is a negative $14,058.75. QuickBook current assets, $241,308.35, and the outstanding bills that we need to approve are $5,597.29. And that is all I have as far as the Treasury's report. We're trying to muddle through First Security and get ourselves educated on that. I know Whitney and I are both trying to get the ACH down. We didn't realize that we had some sort of an app that we had to download in order to have a key code that we had to upload. Anyways, we've kind of muddled through that. That's what I've got.
And I think, do you know the total of our system development funds? Have we gotten any new ones in? I know the end of the year was around 44,000.
We had a new one last month, and I was just looking at that, Beth, and I know the fund is sitting at, hold on just a second.
Oh yeah, we must have, because last month it was at 30, it was at 24.8, and now it's at 37.
Yep. We got another deposit in for one of the Mahala addresses. Whitney was gonna update that spreadsheet. I asked her to do that. She was gonna get that spreadsheet updated. That one that you sent me. So there's the Mahala, and then there was that final payment on the other customer. So,
So we have, that's what we had about 44,000 plus another, plus maybe another three. So we should be getting, I'm not adding exact amounts, but maybe 58,000, 59,000 then of our funds.
Yeah.
And our system development funds. I think that would be nice to have that broken out, maybe now that we have such a large amount on our report.
Okay.
Because you know, fine. Make it look like we got oodles of money in our bank account, only that's money that has to be set aside and can't be spent.
Yeah, I can add that, Beth. I'll add that to the Treasury report so that it breaks that out.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, I was looking at the profit and loss through February.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know. So the system development charge, it's the line item 4,000.
Correct.
Right now, it's sitting at $37,098, but that's through the end of February. I'm not sure if that
That's what we've gotten this year. That's
right.
Counting previous fiscal
year. Right, right, yeah. Right. Which was what, $23,446. So a total of $60,000 so far.
Something close.
Yeah, a rough estimate. So, yeah. And there again, I think when we start doing this budget, looking at these line items is probably going to be helpful for me.
Oh, we have to. Yeah.
Right. But I mean, you've got this commercial system improvement and there's a dollar amount in there. I mean, what's the difference between that and the system development charge?
Okay. Some years back, that's when they started doing meters. And so we had the base amount.
Okay, so that's meters.
Not entirely, but they increased the rates from 30 for residents from 30 to 50, and they increased all the commercial rates an extra 20, right?
Right.
Primarily for doing meters.
Okay, yeah.
But it was because there was a need for some repairs, system repairs too.
Right. But then you've got this line item 4020.2 system improvement meters.
Yeah, that's under residential.
Right. And you've got that big chunk of money there, 26,000. Right. That's meters.
No, well, that's income, but it's the money was, again, that was system improvement and meters. Yeah.
Right. Different than system development charge.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Totally different.
Right. Okay. Okay. Beth, I'll break it out and I'll start adding it to that treasury report.
Yeah. I think that would be helpful.
Yeah. I think you're right. We need to kind of clarify that we got a bunch of money, but we don't have a bunch of money.
Yeah. We can't spend it right now on just any old thing. Yeah. Right. It's restricted funds.
Okay.
Does anyone have any questions about the treasury report? No. Can I get a motion to approve the checks to be paid?
Yeah, I was looking for that. What all do we have?
Hold on. Let me see if I can find it.
It was CenturyLink PUDs, the water testing people, Highland, and the website.
Streamline, and also Brycorp finally billed us. That's
oh my gosh, finally
payroll processing since last July.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we've got our normal utilities and our Highland bill, which I think we already looked at. That one looked good.
What's Streamline?
Streamline, that's our website.
Oh, so that's a yearly?
That's an annual. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. That's your annual website. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think that one's going up something. We're going to have to look up a whole bunch of stuff that's going up when we do our budget projections.
Okay.
But yeah.
I'll motion to pay the bills.
I'll second that.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes. Next on the agenda is the PSU survey.
An update on that?
Yes.
Well, just that we got information that we're still short surveys for it to be complete because there's a minimum percentage they needed from our residents, people who actually live here. And so we're just waiting and seeing, our fingers crossed that they get a few more in and they can complete the survey.
Lisa, I sent an email today. I got an update from Debbie Elliott I just asked her to give us a kind of just a rough idea. She said that what we'll need to do is give enough time for anyone who plans on sending in a survey. So my guess is we'll be able to call it by the end of next week, unless we still haven't reached the minimum number of surveys, which is three. That's what they're waiting on. We need to be careful to not bias who is included, so we can't just stop when we get those three we need. As we're getting the report done, I think we should be able to get it done pretty quickly. So maybe another week or so to send that off to you. Since it's really critical that the data is 100% accurate, we do a lot of double, triple checking before calling it done. Even though you are only applying for the USDA funding, we will include a section in the report that gives you what you need for eligibility to apply for CDBG funding, even if you don't do it or don't qualify. You might as well have that information in case things change. So that's the latest from Debbie. And as you know, Beth took the liberty of knocking on people's doors. Thank you so much, Beth. And hopefully people will get stuff sent in so we can put this behind us.
Right. So I couldn't tell from what she said how long they were going to wait for additional surveys.
You know, I have a feeling that they want to try to call it by the end of next week, Beth. So that would be the end of the month. So I think they want to try to call it by the end of the month. So I'm saying the 31st.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think I mentioned this to you, Eileen, but it was interesting. A couple of the people I talked to that were renters didn't think they needed to fill it out because they didn't own the property.
Right, right.
And I, you know, told them, no, it matters who actually lives here is what really matters. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I can kind of understand why they would have thought that. And I guess that wasn't really clear.
Right. Yeah. And so, like I said in that email, hindsight, next time, make that really clear for people.
Right. Right.
Yes. Well, thank you, Beth, for going door to door.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice.
Well, fingers crossed, we'll get some more in.
Next on the agenda is the Business Oregon Loan/FEMA grants update.
I think they emailed us again. The Business Oregon people did. They're anxious. I'm concerned that we need to maybe connect with them and see, since we just found out that we can't combine the FEMA grant with the loan that we applied for, but they said there were some alternatives. We need to look at that and get some of that information. You know, we spent over $12,000 trying to get this FEMA grant, and it sounds like we're still in the running, even though we haven't heard yet. But I don't think we should be abandoning that.
The FEMA grant?
Yeah.
Well, I guess, Beth, I'm somewhat confused. I mean, we're going to need both, right?
Of course. Yeah.
Okay.
We cannot afford to borrow all the money.
Right.
We have to get some grant help on this.
Right. Right. So even if we get the FEMA grant, we're still going to need to get some other funding.
Right.
Okay.
And Business Oregon is probably the way to go.
Right.
But at our meeting with them, what was it now? It's been a couple months, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They said we couldn't, the Business Oregon loan application we put in, that pot of money could not be combined with the FEMA money. But they said they had other things. We need to know what those other things are.
Can we Can we enlist Kevin's help at this point? I mean, it looks like
Business Oregon to tell us.
I understand that, but I think Kevin could also help us navigate this.
Well, I don't know how much more he's going to do under the money that we already spent for them. I don't know. I would say we need to arrange a meeting with Business Oregon and ask them what their other loan possibilities are to combine with the FEMA grant.
Isn't that the loan that we're applying for, Pat?
No, they said at that meeting that we could not combine the FEMA dollars with, we can't utilize the FEMA dollars with the loan that we just applied, that we have applied for or pre-applied for, and that they're still waiting for our final application. They made that very clear at the beginning of the meeting, and then they said there's other options, but that's too much to go into right now. So we need to find out what those other options are.
Okay. The FEMA grant is for the tank, isn't
it? No, the FEMA grant is for a portion of the tank and a portion of the distribution line.
Okay.
For mitigation of earthquake resiliency or whatever you call it.
Right, but the Business Oregon... Okay.
That is a loan. Business Oregon was a loan.
Right.
With some grant possibilities.
Right.
To reduce the amount. The FEMA is a federal loan.
Right, right. No, I understand.
Or federal grant, excuse me, for mitigation for seismic reasons to make our system resilient. Right. But only a portion of our rebuild project qualifies under the FEMA. And with that amount of the project that does qualify under the FEMA, we have to come up with another 25%. And they will pay 75%.
Correct. And we can't use the Business Oregon funds to pay for that.
For the remainder.
Basically cost sharing. Yeah.
Right.
But we can use the Business Oregon funds to tandem and fix what the FEMA grant won't cover.
Yes, but the FEMA grant would cover part of the costs of the distribution and part of the costs of the tank, but not everything. So we still have to have something that we can use that for. We can't just separate out one or the other. We better talk to Kevin about that, I guess, because
Because the FEMA grants, they're very specific on their payments and their charges, and I'm guessing the same thing with Business Oregon. So we're gonna if we go down this road, we're gonna have to have contractors bill us. You know, this is for on this pot of money, and this is for this pot of money. I mean, that's how it's gonna have to be.
Oh yeah, I mean everybody does that. I mean.
Yeah,
all these different places.
We can use the funds in tandem. We just can't pay the 25% out of the Business Oregon funds.
Right. Well, where are we going to get 25% of $2 million? We don't have it sitting in the bank. So that's why I think we need to talk to people about it.
Oh, and I agree, Beth. I guess, I mean, if we can capture the Business Oregon funds, right? I mean, and it sounds like they really need us to kind of move forward.
Right, but they also said that we needed to cut the project, and obviously they had our affordability rate of charging people $75 a month, and it would cost $140 to borrow all the money a month. So obviously that's above what they consider our affordability rate, and that's why they told us to cut the project.
Okay.
to start, you know, figure out a partial project.
Right, right. Well, and okay. So I was thinking about this the other night, and I wonder if at this point if we need to just come up with like three separate scenarios, you know, FEMA, Business Oregon, chunk of money, this is what we can do. Business Oregon, chunk of money, this is what we can do. And that's why I'm wondering if we couldn't enlist Kevin's help with some of this to kind of come up with a couple of different scenarios.
We could, but I would also like to know what, when Business Oregon was saying there are other avenues for loans,
okay,
that could, we could do with FEMA. I would like to know what those are.
Okay. So should we reach back out to Michelle?
That's what I would like us to do.
Okay. Well, let's do that, Beth. I mean, she's looking for a reply from us. I kind of, I sent them a reply just to kind of, you know, appease them until we could come up with a better reply. So I guess what I don't understand is why can't we move forward with the Business Oregon loan, at least, well, get that money, whether or not we use it or not. We can at least move forward with it.
Well, I don't think we want to move forward with it when they would be setting that, and they have been setting that aside, that money aside for us.
Exactly.
But they're real anxious to have us move forward, but I don't think they mean we're just going to, you know, leave them as an option. We need to move forward and with a commitment.
Well, if we commit to send them the application and get approved and have the funds ready
but then we can't do the whole project, so we have to redo the project.
Well, right. But Beth, I think at this point, none of us know if we can do the whole project. So at least having some funds available.
Sorry. Well, you have to have a way to, you have to have that all figured out then, you know.
Yeah, we have.
And that's why I want to know what we could combine with FEMA as far as a loan.
Okay.
Because I don't see us, you know, abandoning that.
The FEMA.
Yeah.
No, I don't think we should, but.
Well, it doesn't cover everything.
Right. No, I understand.
And it only covers 75% of what it does cover.
Right. But Business Oregon is saying, look, what do you want to do here?
Right.
I mean,
we can't combine any of the seismic type stuff that's under FEMA with it, and it's kind of intertwined in our project.
Yeah, I understand that though. I understand, but there's some parts that aren't intertwined.
Well, there isn't much. I don't think that's not intertwined, but maybe we can. Maybe we can get some of that clarified with Kevin's help, and then arrange to talk to Business Oregon again.
Okay. So the application that we've submitted to them, that we went to all this work on and submitted to them, and then they... What?
No, excuse me. Go ahead.
Well, I thought it was a lot of work for you.
Well, yeah. And you were going to say?
Well, I've kind of lost my train of thought now. It was that the application, or that's pre-application? What we submitted to them.
We haven't submitted it. That was a draft we submitted to them. We didn't submit it yet.
Okay.
That wasn't, I think the pre-app was a year or so ago or whatever. I don't know. Lisa would probably know. She was involved with that one.
We sent Kevin did the revised one for 4.5 million dollars, and we submitted that, and that's when Business Oregon said that we can't afford it, and I still don't know why they said that, but anyway.
But wasn't that they
hold the purse string, so you know we have to go with whatever they want. But we need to find out from Business Oregon how much they are. We still want the money, so how much are they willing to give us? And then we're going to have to decide. Okay, this is what we have to do. This, you know, this is A, B, C, and D, and this is what we're going to do with your money. Because we did submit the whole enchilada to them.
Yeah, but not in the final form. It was a draft. That's why.
I don't think so.
Yes, it was. That's why they're asking us, are you guys gonna do this or not?
Well, we need to find out for them how much we can borrow.
Right.
How much are they willing to give us? Because they have $3.5 million set aside for us.
Right. Which won't cover the whole project now.
Well, correct. But if they're willing to give us $3.5 million, then we need to sit down and figure out, okay, what are we going to cut out?
Right. But they may not be able. I'd be surprised if they would okay that, but we need to find that out from them.
Yeah, we need to find out what their bottom dollar is that they're going to give it to us so that we can come with a game plan of, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is what we're going to hope FEMA gets, and I agree with you. We need to figure out how to get the extra 25,000 or 25%. I think that's a great question to ask too.
Well, we need to know what we could combine with the FEMA money, because they said there were other options. So that means to say we just separated out the tank and said we want a new tank because it would be seismic, it would be resilient to seismic, you know, and it's going to cost this much, but you know, we can't afford the 25% that FEMA won't cover, and find out what options we have to cover that remaining part of that tank. So who wants to contact Business Oregon?
I'll reach out to them, Beth.
And Kevin?
Yeah. They can reach out to them.
Okay.
So I'm looking at the P&L versus actual, right? And I'm looking at what has been set aside for basically for Kevin, if I can find it here. So we have in the budget, we've got $20,000 set aside for grant loan application fees, right? Of which we've spent $3,600 so far. And then we've got set aside engineering and consulting. We've set aside $5,000. That's what's in the budget that we haven't spent anything on yet, right? Okay, so I'm assuming, because I'm gonna feign a little ignorance here, that these are monies that were set aside basically for Civil West. Is that correct, Beth, or not?
I don't really know. I think that was Lisa, you requested we put $20,000 in, and I'm not really sure what it was for.
Okay.
Yes, because I knew that our contract with Kevin was coming to a close, and I knew that we would have these questions, and I knew that he was going to charge us for it, and I just wanted to cover our tushes.
Okay.
So that was what your request was for. Okay.
Okay.
I mean, and the engineering, we didn't know if we were going to stay with Kevin or find another engineer. We hadn't decided that, but it was for helping us with the loan applications and figuring out, what we need to do.
We've had that separate category. That's for infrastructure repairs and maintenance, though, I think is the $5,000 that Eileen's going for. And that's slightly different, but we have the ability to move this money around as we need it.
You're right, Beth. It's infrastructure repairs and maintenance, engineering consulting. That's where the $5,000 was.
Right. And that's kind of been, we just always kept some money in there, you know.
Okay. I guess the reason that I'm looking at that dollar amount is because, I mean, I guess if we're going to ask him for some help, you know, we got to be able to pay him. Do we have the funds to pay him? And it looks like we do have some funds available. Am I right?
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Unless something else breaks or something, we have to use it, but yeah.
Right. Okay. So, Beth, I'm going to reach out to Michelle and tell her that we need some clarification on what else is available to go along with a FEMA grant,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what you're wondering about? Okay. And I think I'm going to reach out to Kevin and say, Kevin, we need three scenarios. Is that reasonable or two scenarios?
Well, we need... Yeah, I guess, you know, we already do have that one that you could share with him, that reduced project that we did before. And then I would share that with him. It needs to be updated, but I would share that with him.
Which reduced project? From a different engineer?
Yes. Yes, but it would be great. I mean, it would be a shortcut for him, you know, probably to look at that.
Okay.
And, you know, start with that.
Right, right.
So that's one possibility, at least.
Right, okay.
But we need to know how we can perhaps separate the FEMA qualified stuff from the rest of it. So
right.
That we can keep those separate if,
yep.
you know, we do need to go with this current Business Oregon loan.
Okay.
And try to combine the two, but yet keep them separate.
Mm-hmm. I guess the other thing on Civil West is, you know, one of the things that he had brought up when we had the lunch with him was, you know, he really seemed to be pushing if we were going to stay with him. And I don't know if we're in a position to do that yet. But I think he's also wanting some sort of assurance on that. And I don't know, you guys, is that something that we can agree on or not? Are we not at that?
What he was talking about is what we have to do when we really get started on this is we have to go
right
do a little RFP type thing,
get
quotes,
yeah,
and you know, he gave us that sample,
right,
sample when we have to go with that to get an engineer, you know, on board to start the design process,
right? Yeah, but he also alluded to the fact that, look, if you want us to do it, there's a way of kind of making sure that we're the ones that.
Well, no, let's not go there. I mean, we just do what's required. We get quotes. We make sure we attempt to get quotes. We make sure we contact people or get it published on the state site.
Right. Okay.
And.
Okay. Well, and that's fine. That.
But we have to be pretty ready to start beginning a project at that point, because we have to outline kind of what the project is. And I think it would really be helpful if we're going to have it, it's going to be in separate stages or separate entities that are, you know, sectioned off. We're going to need that to have an accurate representative of the project we're looking at for people to, you know, to let us know if they're interested and to bid it. Or quote, give us a quote on it.
Right, right. Okay.
Well, so is it reasonable for me to even approach Kevin at this point and say, Kevin, can you give us some scenarios?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we might end up paying, you know, a fee for that, and we'd need to know that, but
okay.
That would be something, you know, to ask him.
Okay.
But I think this is still pre-jumping in with a known project, because we're still like trying to figure out what exactly are we going to be doing and how are we going to be doing it, you know?
How much money we're going to be actually getting. That's
my question. Yeah, and how we're going to approach it. Is it going to have to be split up into separated sections because of our funding sources that have to be kept separate?
Yes. It will have to be separated.
So that would be a big question. And I think that's pre the RFP thing that he sent to us, because right. I think that would have to be outlined in that.
Yeah. No, I agree. I understand.
Yeah. Okay. I'll see what he says.
I'll reach out to him. Okay, moving on.
Repairs to the community center update.
I think they're getting really close. Have they done the finish on the interior yet?
They're done.
Are they done?
Yeah, I was there yesterday and he told me they were finished. So
yeah. So everything looks
good inside.
Was it painted and they got interior trim on that window? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it looked like it. I took some pictures. So
okay, I haven't seen it. It was still the outside looked finished, but the inside, that was last week.
Yeah.
I was there.
Yeah.
Or middle of week.
Yeah, they finished yesterday. I sent out an email when they left saying that it was done.
Yeah, no, I just was curious
about okay, yeah. Is
the observation of it. I'll go down and inspect.
It looked good. I mean, he was still putting in the windowsill trim when I was leaving, but right, the paint was all done. I mean, I'm sorry. When I talked to him, he was putting it in. They left while I was working. So, but no, everything's done. It looks good.
Okay. And so the gutter people are coming out.
And you said they'll be there Thursday?
Whatever my email said, I can't remember it now. I'm sorry, guys. I have a really bad headache. So
you look like you're not doing very good, Beth.
I'm struggling.
Okay, well, should we try to wrap this up?
No, we got some important stuff to talk about, especially with the budget coming.
Okay. Well, but if you don't feel well, Beth.
No. Just let's move on. Just quickly move on.
Okay.
QuickBooks renewal.
Okay, I think we were going to table that or talk about that. I don't know that it's needed to be talked about. I think
what was that?
QuickBooks renewal.
Let's table that if it's okay with you, Lisa.
Yep.
Okay.
Do we have any other correspondence?
Hey, we didn't, can we move back? We didn't do a motion and vote on a motion to approve the treasurer's report. I'd like to do that. I'm making a motion.
I'll second.
Okay, let's vote.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay. Well, you know, I think one of those things that was a question had to do with kind of budget preparation, and actually part of budget preparation is reviewing where you're at in this budget and do we need to make any adjustments. It looks like we do have some, they aren't huge, but looking through the P&L, which we now should be looking at about a 67% level for our expenses. And we've got some that, well, not counting the ones that aren't monthly things, we've got some annual things, but looks like my estimate on insurance wasn't quite enough. I was short $43. I think I took their 9% increase at face value and I should have just thrown in a little bit more.
You did pretty good, Beth.
Yeah, but no, it wasn't perfect. We need to make some adjustments and review everything, make sure that I think there's a few things, the categories, actually the accounting code needs to be changed, but it's not huge. And we need to look at that. We may need to, I think the only one we would need to do an intra-fund transfer is if we take anything out of the contingency, that needs a resolution. And if we transfer anything from operating expenses to personnel, that needs a resolution. I'm willing to get with Eileen and help her with this since I've been through that before. But I don't know if anyone wants to spend meeting time on that or just see if we can come up with something for the next meeting.
I would be fine with that, Beth. I've been kind of looking through the P&L. I know there were some questions from one of the residents as far as the percentages that we were at compared mm-hmm. to where we should be at. And it looks like some of them are very easy to answer. There's some that, yes, we are over. And I think that we can justify the overages on the, especially like on the payroll. The per diem, we know where the money is being spent there. And if we need to increase that, that's what we need to do, right?
Right. And then just a couple things that we would need to do a formal resolution.
Okay.
Otherwise, we could get together our recommendations
for okay.
the board to review at next meeting and vote on.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Lisa?
That sounds marvelous. And thank you.
Okay.
And so then this kind of just segues into budget, because this is part of budget preparation, is to be able to see how you're doing this year and estimate, forecast what the end of the year is going to look like, how much money is going to be left over on June mm-hmm. 30th. When you know that, then you can start working on, well, what are we going to need for next year? And
right.
And that has to be done. And we need to schedule, we need to get our budget committee together. We need to schedule a first meeting and we need to look at the calendar real closely because you have to give notice for that.
Yep.
And I
put a spreadsheet together. I put a calendar together, Beth, to hopefully get some of those dates set.
So that sounds like that is almost answering my one question, is that one of the processes the board has to do is to appoint the budget officer, which is usually the treasurer, but not always. And I did step in last year and was the budget officer, but that is something that the board needs to formally appoint by vote.
Okay.
By motion and vote. And we need to recruit and get our budget committee. And
well,
we are running a little bit late because we started last year. We did start a little early. Of course, we've been this late other years, but...
Beth, if you want to step up to be the budget officer, I would be more than happy to.
No, I don't.
You don't? Okay, no. Well then.
But I will certainly assist.
Okay, that's fine. Then I will, but as long as you help me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what I'm doing, so.
Right.
Okay. Unless, Lisa, you want to do it. No. Okay.
I wish I had time.
Okay. Okay, so let's see. We're going to. Is that something that we can do right now?
Do which?
Appoint me.
I'll make a motion to appoint Eileen as the budget officer.
I second it. Sorry, Eileen.
That's okay. I'll approve, whatever.
Second by Lisa.
Lisa, yes. Beth?
Yes.
Eileen?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay.
So who's going to reach out to our former budget committee members community and ask if they want to re-up? Who wants to beg them?
I don't know who was on it last year, so I wasn't involved.
Well, Grace has done it for quite a few years, and Stan Hart and Mike Mullen, and who else?
Joni.
Was it Joni?
Joni's on the committee. We can have five. We had Joni, Grace, Stan, and Mike last year.
That's four.
It's supposed to only be for 3-year terms, and they have been on it multiple times, but they've been the only ones willing to do it pretty much.
Okay. So. Okay. Well, let's reach out to you guys.
Yeah, we have to have at least as many as we have board members. And of course we can have up to five, because we can have up to five board members. So.
Right. Okay. Okay. Well, I think we have one of the people, or two of the people, are listening in this evening. Right? Or they were. Maybe they've hung up. So
they're still there. I don't know if they're listening. But.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll let them think about it. So.
Hello, this is Mike.
Hello, Mike.
Hello. Hey, I've done 3 years. Glad to help out. But I think my 3-year term is over, and I'm going to not be on this year.
Okay. Take I'm gonna draw a line through your name then.
So, thank Mike, you. Who did you find as a replacement?
That's not my job.
Would you like to be a board member?
No.
Well, then you would, you'd probably be happier just finding someone else to replace you, huh?
No, I think you'll find somebody. This is your first meeting about this, so you've got time. But thank you. And I didn't mind helping at all. I thought it was a good thing to do. But like I say, or like you said, 3 years is usual or term. I did my 3 years, so I'm not sure how other people feel, Grace or whatever, but it's up to them too. So anyway. Right.
Well, they're just really knocking on the door or not to do anything. So
that I won't get into that. I'm feeling the same way Mike is. I feel like I've committed up enough for now, maybe at a later date, but this year we're planning on trying to get someplace this spring. And
now who is this?
That's Stan.
Oh, Stan Hart. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. I drew a line through your name, Stan.
Okay, well.
All right.
Flowers or candy or what should we get for the other one? Little potted plant. Okay.
Okay.
So we should send out an email to the community begging people to be on the budget committee.
Another begging email, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we have to have a budget and we have to have people and.
Yep. Okay, budget committee email. Got it down.
And I don't know who Grace is. I do know Joni, so I can ask Joni. If somebody asks Grace, and so we've got those two. All right.
Okay. We'll send out an email. Anybody else you can think of? Again, it's the same as being on the board. They have to be an elector of the district, meaning they have to have registered to vote in the district.
Right.
Okay, we don't have any ordinances, resolutions, public comments. Is there any public comments? Seeing none, I'm moving to board member comments.
Here's my thing. Getting back to, I'd like to ask about meters. Is there any preference? I think Eileen and I had come up with looking at doing three remaining meters on Ellie Street and one over on Gladys as the 4 meters where we had known corpse stops.
Yeah, I think we should move forward with them, Beth. You know, I was kind of on the fence, but I think at this point we might as well just move forward with them.
We got to do more meters.
Right. No, yeah. I know. But well, I think there was some concern about how much money was in the budget.
Oh, no, we've got enough for this much. And I think we could actually take some money from some of the other categories and do a few more.
Yeah.
I mean, it might be a good idea because it's the time starting to get.
Yeah.
The time of the year that's good for doing it.
Yeah. Well, let's give them 4 and then we'll look at where else to start.
Okay. Yeah. So is that what I should send to Curtis then? These 3 on Ellie and the 1 on First and Gladys?
Yeah.
So what are the ones on Ellie?
It would finish it up. It would finish everything on Ellie.
Everything that's actually used. Yeah, Apicello, Davis, actually Elliker, and then on Gladys, which was
Megan
Martin.
Yeah,
was Martin Wintle, but is now Schroff, Rick Schroff.
Something Van something LLC, the Gray House.
It was a short-term rental.
Yeah, and now it's a long-term rental.
Right. It can't, you realize it. We've dropped, I think that makes 3 short-term rentals because when they sell them, they can't transfer the license.
Right.
And there will be no additional licenses in this zone. So.
Yeah. They've already got it rented. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Anyways, those are the 3, Lisa.
Okay.
I think we were kind of looking at the map and decided that it would be nice to kind of, instead of doing them piecemeal all over the place, kind of do them, you know, this street's done.
Right.
Kind of a
thing. I was just asking because, you know, now we own the the lovely lot on Ellie. And, you know, I was wondering if, even though our water is not hooked up, I mean, we're not paying for it. I was just wondering.
Yeah.
Well, if someone's going to utilize that lot with its water, then it needs a meter. But if it's not ever going to be utilized, then...
We haven't decided what we're doing with it.
Right. So I would say we would be better off getting meters in places that are being used, because that's basically an empty, unused water connection, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
But I was just curious.
Yeah. Plus, we don't quite know, I think, where the thing is or something. I don't know.
Well, the Davis's water box is in our right of way.
Yeah. Yeah.
So but don't they already have a meter, though?
Not the camping lot. The house does, but not the camping lot. That's a different water connection.
But there's a...
He's put a box in, but it's not a meter.
Okay.
His house has... The house that Jerry had has a meter, but not that lot.
So is that meter going to be on his right away or on ours?
Yeah, they usually put the meter on the side where the house is. It just happens the main goes down the west side of LA.
Okay. I'm just curious.
The corpse
stuff. Because I don't want people digging. I mean, you know, if I see people digging in I want to know, you know, why.
Well, they will, but they will have to, they might have to uncover some corpse stop stuff there, but just to okay. get to the corpse stop. But yeah, they usually put the meter near the house on the edge of the right of way. And so it will be across the street on the east side, since the house or the camping lot is on the east side of LA.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm just making sure, you know, right. I didn't want to have to, you know.
But that's still, it's almost always in the right of way anyway, which is right of way, not on your property.
Yes, I get that.
Okay. Okay, I will send Curtis those addresses then.
Okay.
Okay.
If there's no more comments, I believe the next board meeting is on the 11th of April, and I make a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Oh, third and fourth and fifth it too.
I hope you feel better, Beth.
Yes, I hope you feel better.
Need to get some